ओमज्ञानतिमिरण्डस्याज्ञरञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदमयं ददाति स्वपदन्तिकम्। वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं सग्रजातं सहगणारघुनाथं वितन्तं सजीवम्। साद्वैतां सर्वदूतां परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदं सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते। तप्त कांचन गौरंगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we continue reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, the Saman Bonam, Chapter 11, the Childhood Pastimes of Lord Krishna, Texts 41 and 42. The verse on the board is Text 42. I will read myself and you will hear Text 41. And then we'll recite together Text 42. And then hopefully they still have some time. We'll discuss also about Lalita Devi. There's a saying, when you are in Rome, do as the Romans do. So today they celebrate in Uchagao, the village where the Lila Stali, or the pastimes of Lalita Devi, along with the, well, as we mentioned earlier, Mangalarti, there'll be a darshan of the main gopis, the Astasakis villages. So she did not born there. She was born in Kerala, but her father brought her there, and we will discuss a little bit of Lalita after, because we've been celebrating here for the last 40 years, Lalita Sakhi's birthday. Not birthday, but appearance day. There is also Lalita Devi, she is a demigod. And also today in West Bengal, her appearance day also is being celebrated. So there's a little confusion, but we're going to discuss a little bit of Lalita Devi also. Kadachid Yamuna Tire Vatsam Charayato Swakai Vayasyai Krishna Balayor Jighamsu Daitya Agamat. One day, while Rama and Krishna, along with their playmates, were tending the calves on the bank of the river Yamuna, Another demon arrived there, desiring to kill them. Next text. Tang bat saru pinang viksha. Vatsayuta gatang hari. Darsayang baladevaya. Sanair mugdha iva shada. Word for word meaning, tam unto the demon. Vatsarupinam. Assuming the form of a calf. Viksha. Seeing. Vatsayuta gatam. When the demon entered the group of all other calves, Harihi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Darsayan, indicating, Baladevaya, unto Baladev, Sanai, very slowly, Mugdha Iva, as if he did not understand anything. Ashadat came near the demon. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead saw that the demon had assumed the form of a calf and entered among the groups of other calves, he pointed out to Baladev, "Here is another demon." Then he very slowly approached the demon as if he did not understand the demon's intentions. Purport. The import of the words Mugdha Iva is that although Krishna knows everything, here he pretended that he did not understand why the demon had entered among the calves. And he informed Baladeva by a sign. Thus end the purport. Canto 10, chapter 11, text 42. The childhood pastimes of Krishna. So this is the daily activities of the two brothers, Krishna and Balaram, along with their cowherd boyfriends, while pasturing the calves and the cows in the forest of Braj, especially very close or nearby the banks of Yamuna, because usually they will eat there near the banks of Yamuna, and green grass are so much in abundance, and therefore they always choose to be near in those areas. And every day, part of their activities is that Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram, sometimes demons will be sent by King Kamsa. Knowingly, King Kamsa is so afraid of Lord Krishna, knowingly that he will be the cause of his death. And therefore, he would be sending one by one by one. Sometimes the Acharya says, Krishna will kill between two or three demons every day before tiffin time, before lunch time. So if you calculate, Lord Krishna, he spent almost 11 years in Braj before going to Mathura, Vrindavan to Mathura. So you can calculate, because even at the age of 7, he killed Putana, very young infant. So every day, two or three demons, almost 11,000 demons total. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, around 22 demons were described. Otherwise, we'll be just hearing Krishna killing, 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 killing. No other pastimes. So, this time, Kamsa sent a demon in disguise of a calf, Vatsa. Vatsarupinam, assuming the form of a calf. See, demons, they can change their appearance according to time, place, and circumstances, according to the purpose whereby they would like to do. So Kamsa is trying very hard, everything, Putana, starting with Putana, just like a very beautiful demigoddess from Swargaloka, failed. Trinivarta, Sakatasura, and now Vatsa. Oh, it's very good disguise, isn't it? But Krishna is all-knowing. He knows past, present, and future. Even before we think, He knows what we're going to think as Paramatma. So here, Vatsasura entered among the groups of the other calves. And Lord Krishna knowingly, hey, there is an intruder here. An outsider trying to come into our circle. Which means that danger is there. For Krishna, He doesn't think of danger for Himself. And at the same time, also He knows that He'll be able to protect. So He played a little bit in such a way that, oh, I'm not recognizing you, that you are a demon. But then He signed. Gave a sign to Balaram. Just a sign here. Maybe a blinking of an eye or gesture. Didn't say here. Maybe something like this. We don't know. So yes, the demon's intention specifically is to kill Krishna. But the demon doesn't know that Krishna is ready. Whenever the time is right, he will be ready to kill that demon. Usually these demons are cursed or they did some aparad from the past. But somehow or other, even though they did some aparad or they were cursed, Krishna is so merciful that He gives them liberation. For Krishna is equal both to the demons and to the devotees. For the demons, if they're killed from the hands of the Supreme Lord, they attain moksha. Mostly sayujya. Sometimes sarupya or salokya. Very special demons they are. But when you attain sayujya mukti, therefore you cannot stay that long being merged into the Brahman effulgence or the light coming from the transcendental form of the Supreme Lord. Sisi Gornitai Guru Parampara Ki Jai, Sisi Krishna Balarama Ki Jai, Radhesham Lalita Visakadevi Ki Jai. So this is the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Killing and giving blessings towards His devotees, killing the demons, is the same. But for the devotees, and much more, the mercy is unlimited, that they can attain the transcendental loving devotional service with Him in the spiritual sky, either in Vaikuntha or in Goloka Vrindavan. To attain Goloka Vrindavan is not so easy. But I was reading the other day in Mathura Mahatmya that anyone who died in Vrindavan, even if he is the most sinful person, he will attain Vaikuntha. Guaranteed. Even the most sinful. But usually, those who are sadhus, who commit an aparad, and then they died, they may take birth as hogs or dogs or monkeys, and that will be their last life. They attain also Vaikuntha after that. Because we need to revive our loving relationship with the Supreme Lord to attain Vaikuntha, or specifically Goloka Vrindavan, in the mood especially of the Brajabasis. The Brajabasis, according to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are the topmost devotees who are the best example, who dedicated everything. They may cross all the moral values or everything, sacrifice everything for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. And the topmost are the gopis. According to Skanda Purana, there are 3 billion gopis, which means half of the population of the planet Earth. This is just a figure to say, but gopis are unlimited. So who are the gopis? The gopis, they are close associates of Lord Krishna. And the topmost is Shrimati Radharani. She is the Hiladini Shakti. She is the personified pleasure-giving potency of the Supreme Lord. She knows how to serve Krishna the best. That's why she is called Radhe, Radha. So Radharani, she has unlimited assistance. And the topmost of the two is Lalita and Vishakha Sakis. It's like in our altar, we have Lalita on the right-hand side of Krishna and Visakha on the left-hand side of Shrimati Radharani. Lalita and Visakha, eternal. They are direct expansions of Shrimati Radharani herself. So Lalita, she is the leader of all the gopis. Her age, eternal age in the spiritual world, in Goloka, is 14 years, 8 months, 27 days. Now, according to Radha Krishna Ganodesh Deepika, she is 27 days older than Shrimati Radharani. And because of that, her age, she always wanted to protect Shrimati Radharani. She's like a guardian of Shrimati Radharani. Also, she is considered as the Shiksha Guru because of her age. Shiksha Guru of Shrimati Radharani. She can chastise Radharani. She can teach Radharani what to say to Krishna, especially when Lord Krishna will come late for the meeting. She would say, "You behave properly. Don't show you're being subordinate. You should stand or sit on your grounds. This is what you should do. Don't be shown to Krishna that you are weak." But Radharani says, "What can I do? Whenever I will see her, see him, I will lose my emotions. I'll be weak." But no, you should not do that. The mood of Lalita is Bhamya. Bhamya means she is very dominating. So we cannot do that, isn't it? Even though Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, follow in the footsteps of the Brajabasis. Our mood is that we are servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the eternal couple, Sisi Radhe Shyam. We cannot say, "Oh, I want a direct relationship with Radha and Krishna." That is not possible. That positions are already taken. You cannot be another Lalita or another Vishaka or another Champakalata or another Tungavidya or another one of the 8 gopis, main gopis, or 16 main gopis, or 64 main gopis, or 108 main gopis. But we can aspire to be a servant of the servant, gopi bartu padakamalayor, dasa 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 anudas. So Lalita is also called Anuradha because she is the constant companion of Shrimati Radharani, like almost like a shadow. Can you separate yourself from your shadow? Now wherever you go, shadow is there. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared 500 years ago, Gadadhar is who? Shrimati Radharani. That's the mood of Gadadhar Prabhu. And also it says that within Gadadhar also Lalita followed Radharani in the mood. And in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarup Damodar Goswami is none other than Lalita as well. Because he knew the mood. He was there to assist Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he compiled these notes to be used by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That no one passes, he guards also Sarup Damodar Goswami. He also guards Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If there is some writings that needs to be seen by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarup Damodar Goswami will first read. And if he approved, then he will give to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it is like that. Lalita, sometimes, he'll be so angry that Krishna is very late, especially the Nisanta Lila. That means the night pastimes. The pastimes of the Supreme Lord is divided into 8 parts or Astakaliya Lila. So Nisanta means like night pastimes where Krishna, in the middle of the night, he will pretend when Mother Yasoda put him into sleep, he will pretend that he's already sleeping. But then he will sneak out of the house of Nanda Baba and he will meet the gopis, especially Radharani. But before that, sometimes Krishna will see Chandravali first. Now, Chandravali also is an expansion of Radharani, but in a different mood. The mood of Shrimati Radharani is left wing, unsubmissive. And Chandravali is right wing, submissive. They are rivals eternally for the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. It is compared the mood of Chandravali is that of ghee. It is wholesome, but no taste. A little bit of taste is there. But madhu is the mood of Shrimati Radharani, which means it is wholesome and it also has taste. So when Krishna will be late, very, very, very late, Lalita will be there. And when Krishna will come to the garden of Radharani, no way, you cannot enter my mistress' place. No, not possible. But then, somehow or other, he'll be able to enter and he will hold the lotus feet of Shrimati Radharani. We're talking about this because on the occasion it just arises. But we don't talk about this every day because Prabhupada told us, you know, these are like confidential pastimes. It should not be spoken in public, but somehow the occasion arises that today is Lalita Devi's appearance day. So it says that her complexion is compared to like millions of moon rising at the same time. Just like in autumn. Autumn means in this year is starting from 23rd of September till 21st of December. So there is a full moon. And that full moon is very, very bright, yellow, golden color. And the color of complexion of Lalita Devi is like compared to a million moons rising at the same time during the autumn season. And sometimes it is compared also as Gorachana. Gorachana means it's a yellow pigment. Just like it says also, there is some nakshatra, some constellation, when the alignment of the stars occurred on that day, when the cows would walk, and then the imprint of the hooves of the cows or the calves will be yellow color. And that is very, very expensive, very costly, that kind of color. See if you can do that also. I have seen that. Let us know. So yes, her beauty and charm is unparalleled. Well, to be an associate of Radharani, who is the most beautiful, who can attract even Lord Krishna, to be an eternal companion, you must be also have the same beauty and charm. You can tell by the beauty of Srimati Radharani that Lalita Devi's beauty is also on the same level. So yes, her garments is that of like peacock, colored peacock. Why? Because her mood is only to please Srimati Radharani, to give happiness to Radharani. So whenever Radharani will see Lalita's peacock feather sari, like peacock feather, then she will immediately reminded of Lord Krishna, and that will make her so happy. And peacock also, especially in rainy season, when they see the monsoon cloud, they dance, they exhibit their feathers. You go to Terkadam, you've been to Terkadam? Many peacocks there, and they will dance. Who's dancing? Is the male or the female? The male, trying to attract the female peacock. So yes, Lalita Devi is like this. She will be like very sultry, very dominating, sometimes angry, sometimes teaching Krishna, angry at Krishna, teaching Krishna, reprimanding Krishna. But why? What is the purpose? This is only to enhance, because she actually feels intense affection towards Lord Krishna. And if Krishna behaves himself properly, then Radharani will be happy. But this is the mood. Seemingly like they're not getting along together, but actually that getting along, not getting along together makes their union so much sweeter than sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. So this is the mood of the gopis. Her direct associate or assistant is Rupa Manjari, who is none other than Rupa Goswami. All the Goswami's assistants of the Sakis. The Manjaris means they are younger in age, like around 1 year younger, 12 or 13 years younger, old or young, you may say. And their main service is to assist the gopis, the Sakis. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gave a description of who are these Manjaris. He compared the Sakis, or Radharani first, Radharani, as the main creeper that is embracing the tree. Sometimes you see that, right? Creeper embracing the tree. And the Manjaris and the Sakis are compared to the flower. They are not touching the tree. Because no one actually wants to get closer. They push Radharani more. This is their service, to keep Radha and Krishna together. And what to say of the Manjaris? They don't even think about it. They don't even have a desire to be close to Krishna. But they will assist the Sakis, so that the Sakis will be able to assist Radharani for the loving relationship with Lord Krishna. So this should be our mood. Our mood should be pushing others to get closer and closer to Krishna. This is the mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just like when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was having darshan of Jagannath in Jagannath Puri, and there was this elderly woman jump on his shoulder, he did not push, say, no. Others are actually worried. But no, let her be there because she wants. So our mood should be like this: servant of the servant of the servant of the Supreme Lord. Koti, 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 servant. The more you give others a chance to serve the Supreme Lord, then the more you will be recognized. The more you push yourself, and then while pushing yourself to be closer and closer, you commit an aparad. You commit an aparad. You will step over others. We should have desire, just like of the Manjaris, or the Gopis, or the inhabitants of Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, they don't really care to understand who is Krishna. All they want to be is that how they can increase their love towards the Supreme Lord. So we should see everyone above us. Have you heard that story about Lord Krishna told Arjuna, you go find who will be lower than you. Is that right? Or who will be higher than you? Duryodhan and Arjuna were told, who is greater than you. This is to Duryodhan. And to Arjuna says, find someone who is lesser than you. When they came back, Duryodhan says, oh, I cannot find who is greater than me. Oh, who is, I am the greatest. And to Arjuna, I don't find anyone who is lesser than me. I'm lower than everyone. This should be our mood. This is the mood of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. They want to love Krishna, but they assist each other, especially the Gopis. So, she is faithful to Radhika. She will sometimes chastise Krishna. And also, Rupa Goswami explains that Ladita's service sometimes is chastisement, teaching, and even becoming angry. No one can approach Radha and Krishna without Lalita Devi's permission. There is a misconception that, oh, I want to serve Radha and Krishna immediately. No way. And before you can go, you get permission from Lalita, you get permission from other gopis. And before you get that, it's like long, long, long queue. But don't worry, even if you're in the last queue, Krishna will recognize you if your intentions are genuine. If your intention, if you come to Vrindavan And if your intention really is to serve Radha and Krishna, very eager, Lalita will recognize this and she will bless you. She will permit you to do that. But not so easy. You have to follow what Srila Prabhupada has told us. You have to follow the Four Regulative Principles, chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, sincerely, without any offenses, continuously, and don't make any aparad, especially Vaishnava aparad. This is the formula of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You can go back to Godhead by doing this. So, how to approach Lord Krishna is in the mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers. This is the mood of Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. Any question? Any comment? Karbajan Prabhu. And yes, Ganga Prasad Prabhu.
You mentioned that
the
Avita is 27 days older.
Yes.
And there is another version that arrived only 2 days older than Radha. So I want to be sure.
According to Titi, that's what I've read. According to Titi, sometimes Lalita's appearance or the distance between the appearance of the two is like 1 or 2 days. But if you really calculate this, maybe in a different kalpa, it's like this, because sometimes it's like a general statement. But since we are in Vrindavan, as I mentioned earlier, you're probably not here. When you're in Rome, do as the Romans do. When you're in Vrindavan, do as the Brijabasis do. But not all the time. Because sometimes the Brijabasis, who are taking things very cheaply, they don't eat or they don't observe Ekadasi. And they will say, oh, I'm a follower of Rupa Goswami, the six Goswamis. And they eat grains on Ekadasi. The Goswamis, they're very strict. They're very strict. They follow Ekadasi. Those who are in the top level of bhakti, they follow everything as if they are sadhakas. As if they are practitioners. Externally, yes, they show, but they're the most advanced. So this is something which, because in Uchagaon, when you go there, we've been there a few times, many years ago. We usually take a bus to go to Uchagaon. This is the Leela Stali or the pastimes place of Lalita and also the other gopis along with Radhe Shyam. You will see there's a stone that has a footprint of Krishna, Radharani, and also some utensils that she used for cooking. Her main service is making tambula. You know what's tambula? Pan? We offer them also. Do we offer them here? But don't eat it. It's not Mahaprasad. Only Radha and Krishna can eat those. It makes you a little bit intoxicating effect there. So, yes, and in some places in Uchagaon, there are stones also that still has the footprints of the gopis, Radha and Krishna. We went to Nandagram maybe a month and a half ago or so, and we had darshan of that lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Now one may say, oh, how do you know that these are lotus feet imprints? Because the spiritual energy is there. You cannot make it up. You can really feel that this is the lotus imprint, the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord and His eternal associates. You go to Govardhan, you will still see an imprint of Lord Balaram's footprint, or Airavata, the elephant carrier of King Indra. So, whether today is the appearance day of Lalita Devi or not, we've been observing Lalita's birthday for the last 40 years. So what to do? Shall we just say, oh, today is not? No. This is the speciality of Vrindavan. We're not supposed to say, Radhe, Radhe, Radhe Sham. But you're in Vrindavan. How can you not? How can you avoid that? If you're in Mayapur, Gauranga! Joy Nitai! Actually, it's more Joy Nitai in Mayapur than Gauranga. You go to villages, you'll hear Joy Nitai. Here, we say, not just Radhe, we should say Radhe Shyam. One time, Srila Prabhupada was walking in Braj, in Vrindavan. Someone greeted him, a Brajabasi. Radhe Radhe or Radhe Shyam. Prabhupada says, Hare Krishna. It depends on your mood. Okay? So we celebrate today. Yes, sir. You were told. By whom? Huh? Okay, whatever you're going to say, it should be helpful not to confuse us.
See, I am saying that how I can see in this world this you.
I'm not hearing
this
properly.
You, we cannot avoid making offenses and making all these things. So what will happen, even if we chant, He said to me, keep chanting. This offenses you're doing will go automatically. Krishna will help you. Prabhupada will help you.
Sure. But if you commit Vaishnava Parad, you have to ask forgiveness from that Vaishnava. Even if your intention is not to harm or offend or criticize, if that person became affected, became harmed, felt bad about what you said, that means there's something to what you said that you need to apologize. You can perform sinful activities or other aparads, keep chanting. Vaisnava aparad, it makes the Bhaktilata creeper crippled or even uprooted because you became used to it. Sometimes devotees are like that. Very critical. You can be critical objectively to help that devotee. But to put down that devotee, who gets the pain? Krishna. That's why Lord Vishnu, when, who is that? Durvasa Muni went up there in the Vaikuntha, says, no. You offended my Vaishnava devotee. You should go back. Actually, the pain, a genuine devotee, he doesn't take aparad. Or a genuine devotee, even before you ask for forgiveness, he already forgave you. This is in the pastime of Durvasa Muni and Ambarish Maharaj. But who is a pure devotee? That is very rare. A little bit of, not so nice words. You felt like offended. You feel bad. So, how do you avoid Vaishnava Parad? you serve the Vaishnavas without any self-interest, without any motivation, without vested interest, genuinely, no pretension, like a genuine jiva. Yes, sir. Looks like the question is always here. Is there any question first at that side? Okay, you first.
I understand that any simple person dying going to Vaikuntha, and if they go Vaikuntha, after some time they have to come again to the earth.
No, I did not say that.
No, I'm asking this question.
Oh, no, no. Yat gatvana nibartante tad dhamma paramamama. You don't come back anymore. Because you will remember, Prabhupada, I read, he was asked, do you remember when you go back to the spiritual world? Do you remember what happened in the spiritual world? What did Prabhupada say? Yes! That's why you will not come back anymore. You will not want to experience sukha dukkha. You will not want to experience this miseries and sufferings in this world. You're like, what's that? You're burnt. You don't want to come back. You're burnt. We are being burnt. The forest of material existence in the material world is like a forest that has fire. So you don't want to come back anymore here. Jai Maharaj. Yes, Prabhu.
Many times Prabhupada said gossip destroys your Krishna consciousness. Couldn't say it stops it or slows it down. It destroys. So that's the very root of Vaishnava Aparada, is gossip.
Prabhupada says that. But there's a statement also that bhakti never destroyed, except Vaishnava Parad. If you finish 12% in this lifetime, next lifetime you'll be starting in 13% of bhakti. I'm just saying it to give you a consolation, but don't do it. Yes.
You said one should feel the lowest of the low. So sometimes I see that if a devotee is feeling really, he's got no good qualities, then he also feels very underpowered to do anything. There's some paralysis which happens when he doesn't express himself and do anything then.
Humility doesn't mean you sit in the corner. Actually, humility means coming forward, but in a humble state. Humility means if you know something is the truth, if you know something the truth, humility doesn't mean you step in the corner and you don't say it. You have to come forward and tell the truth. That is humility. Humility doesn't mean putting yourself down, but you feel that you are unqualified. And those who feel that they are unqualified, they are the most qualified. Okay? Those who says, I'm qualified, they are the most unqualified. Okay.
Because I'm only launching a program to teach people to feel qualified. It's a training program. So then if I tell them that you're unqualified, they want to feel...
How do you be qualified? You have to learn how to teach them. You cannot just say, I teach you, but I don't know anything. You have to do research. You have to read a lot.
So can a person think that I have good personal qualification, but I'm depending on Krishna's mercy?
Yes, you're always begging for the blessings and mercy of the Lord and His devotees. That is your qualification. If you think that I'm qualified and I don't need any mercy, I don't need assistance, I'm experienced, I know everything, you are not qualified.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. So we stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki.